Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
I want to encourage you that if you're facing homelessness, if you're facing trials of any kind, I want to caution you and just encourage you not to be anxious.
Right.
Not to be anxious. Philippians tells us, Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. Anything. We talked about military and Israel. Mm-hmm. Just say, listen, we don't need to be anxious. God's word tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, mm-hmm. present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Man, I don't know about you. That is a powerful, powerful verse of Scripture.
That's right.
It has brought me great solace. Many, many, many times. But you think about it, God commands us in his words, you know, not to be anxious. These women hung themselves, bless their heart, because they felt that they had no other choice. Listen, it's not the end of the world. This too shall pass. Mm-hmm. But we got to turn to God.
That's all right.
We got to turn to God. You know what anxious means? Anxious means uneasy, apprehensive, uncertain about a matter. Worried, tense. Mm-hmm. You're concerned about, like, you know, a misfortune is going to happen to you. So it's just like, oh, I'm just anxious. You're uneasy, mm-hmm. restless, agitated, jittery. Mm-hmm. The actual original word in like Latin means to choke or squeeze. And if you've been around an anxious person, it's just feel like they're choking. They're just like everything's squeezing in on them. Mm-hmm. If you've ever experienced anxiousness yourself.
All right.
And God's word clearly tells us, don't do it. Don't be uneasy. Mm-mm. Don't be jittery. Don't allow what you're facing to choke you out, choke your family out. Don't even go there.
Right.
About anything. Why would God tell us that? About anything. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when we're anxious, it's because we're trying to find a solution within ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, it could be financial. It could be something going on with the family, with the marriage. Mm-hmm. It could be something in your own life, personal struggles and challenges at the workplace. Mm-hmm. And you're anxious. And you talk to a lot of people today with so much uncertainty with what's going on. You just sense a great anxiousness in terms even of their employment. They don't know what's going to happen with the economy. We want to encourage you today. We want to encourage you through God's word that God encourages us not to go there, not to be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition, in every situation, in every circumstances, in every place that you find yourself in, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes you go along through the day and anxiousness, you become so worried that you don't even realize that you're worried about something.
All right.
Until someone says, dear, Pat, are you okay? Chris, is everything okay, dear? I'm fine. I'm fine. Oh, what? What? Is there something wrong?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You're awfully jittery today. You know, you can be so self-focused. You can have this whole thing going on in your head and in your brain. Mm-hmm. You're thinking so hard that we all see it. It's like we see their brain
all
functioning.
Right.
See everything.
It's all over your face.
We see those gears moving, literally. Mm-hmm. And your body becomes to take on what's actually happening within your mind. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we can respond one or two ways. We can become anxious. And anxiousness is what? Wasting our time. Mm-hmm. Being all focused on fear and dread, mm-hmm. of a misfortune. Something's going to happen, as if that could actually change the situation.
Right, right.
And you got to be careful that you don't have a default setting to be anxious. Some people think that that's normal, that it's okay. I'm just anxious. I'm just anxious. I'm just anxious. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my kids. Right. You know, what about my relationship? What about my relationship? What about the economy? It's like, that's not, you can't have a default setting to go straight into anxiousness and to worry. But in everything, we can actually go to the one who could actually fix the situation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, you have a request, you have a need, you have a situation, you have a concern, you're going through a trial. You can present your request to God, to the one who actually holds your life in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one who can determine anything, the person who can grant you the relief or the favor. And if he allows it, it's because of his Father filter.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been there? Have you been there before? Have you ever been anxious about something? You realize, why am I so anxious?
All right. Exactly. What's the root of all that is fear. You think about it.
Absolutely.
Every bit of it.
That's the foundation of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the anxiousness is all about something's about to happen that mm-hmm. I don't want to happen.
All right. False evidence appearing real.
Mm. That's good. That's the acronym, yeah. False mm-hmm. evidence.
Right.
And you're fretful. Fretful. Sometimes you can be anxious about a conversation because you're thinking, oh, if I have this conversation, this is not going to go well. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why are you projecting on that? Instead, you know, we could just take that concern because it could be a legitimate concern. It may not go well. But by focusing on dread and those possibilities that may or may not occur,
mm-hmm.
why not take that concern? You know, Jesus is our burden bearer.
Mm-hmm.
He says, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light and easy.
That's right.
How many are suffering unnecessarily stress? I mean, and burden, and then you're spreading it all through your family, all through your workplace, all through your, and it's like, that's so unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Because God says, hey, bring your burdens to me. I care for you. So a prayer and petition, make your requests with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, one of the ways that to really lift up your spirits,
mm-hmm.
you know, so one of the ways to really get encouraged is to start thanking God and to remember all the good things that God has done in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something, there's nothing that will build your faith. I write this stuff down. I know you and I have had this conversation, you know, and every time God answers mm-hmm. a prayer request, you know, I write it down.
Absolutely.
Because it builds my faith.
Right.
You want to look back and say, oh, yeah, God answered that. And I remember when God answered that. Start talking to the Lord in your prayer. Start remembering and thanking him mm-hmm. for all the good things that he has done, mm-hmm. for the times that he's healed you, for the times that he provided you when there was no way.
That's right.
The way that he answered and restored you when it was all said and done and it was all over, that one time God intervened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you said, God, if you get me out of this one, and he did, and how he touched your family, and how he mm-hmm. gave you that job that you didn't have, and you were all by yourself, and you said, Lord, if you give me a family, if you give me, you know, if we just had a child, and God gave you 6 children, and it's like all these different things that God mm-hmm. so, you gotta remember.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sit back and rejoice and ponder. Listen, you can focus on your problem or you can focus on God. But I tell you, both of them, you know, the one you choose is going to determine
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen with you.
That's right.
You can focus on fear, you can focus on faith. And so it's, you know, so we can't be anxious. And the thing about all of this is that he says, in everything, present your request to God, and get this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, when you actually talk to the one who can do something about your situation,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? Right. When you talk to the one who holds the heart of the king in his hand,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you talk to the one, or the rider of the horse whose name is faithful and true, who is just and fair and righteous, when you talk to Jesus, when you talk to the creator and the manager of the universe, who put the stars in place and told the waters to stay at a certain point, when you talk to God,
mm-hmm.
come on now. He says, look, you're going to have peace and the peace of God. You know, I was talking to someone the other night, and I remember hearing that one of the names that, Jesus had was the Prince of Peace. And I, you know, before I knew God, I thought, oh, that's cute. You know, hope, joy, peace. Oh, that's a nice little saying that they give Jesus, you know, the Prince of Peace, you know.
Right.
Until, you know, I needed some peace. And I realized that he was the source of peace.
That's right.
Man, when there is anxiousness, you have no peace in your life.
Mm-mm.
There's no peace, constantly worried, things constantly on your mind. Anxiousness and worry and fear will sap and drain the life out of you.
Mm-hmm.
It'll cause you to be bitter. It'll cause you to be edgy. It'll cause you to snap.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
When you have peace, it's all good.
That's right.
And he says, and the peace of God which transcends. That word means to rise above, to exceed. When the peace of God rises above your ability to understand. Now you're talking. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're through something where it's like, dude, we have just experienced the big one in our home. You know, yeah. I was like, I just got hit with a mega bomb here.
That's right.
And for all intents and purposes, I should be totally distraught and just like knocked out, my wind knocked out of me. But for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
There's an overwhelming peace upon me, and it's beyond my ability to understand. I mean, because if you look at the facts say that I am in trouble. Mm-hmm. If you look at the facts and what other people tell me, this is the big one.
That's right.
You know, that I've been diagnosed. They told me that this was it. But you got to understand, I spoke to God. You got to understand that I took this request. I couldn't worry about the diagnosis. By worrying and focusing and fretting, and that is not going to make me get better.
Mm-mm.
But I took my request. I did like David did, and I magnified God, and I didn't magnify the problem. I said, God, you're bigger than all this. And I started thanking him for what he did for me in all my life. And I looked back at the years and the chapters of my life and saw God's hand upon me and what he's done for my family. And faith started to rise up. And not only faith, but the peace of God started to descend on my mind.
Mm.
And for some reason, I've got peace.
It's good.
I mean, that's good. I mean, we need peace. You got to operate in a place of peace from peace.
Nothing like it.
You ever been in an environment where maybe you're leading something and somebody's just so anxious and they come? That anxiousness, that fear is contagious.
Very contagious. Oh, yeah.
And you bring someone in like that and it starts jumping all on each person. And so the peace of God rises above our ability to understand and get this. This is what the peace of God does. This is what the peace of God does. It guards your heart and your mind. Let me tell you something. You can have some thoughts that could be pounding so loud in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't even go to sleep.
Right.
You're talking about a restless night. You're talking about anxiousness and concern and gripping. Let me tell you something. The peace of God, what it does, it begins to guard your mind. It begins to protect your mind. It begins to build a fortress, a wall, if you will,
right,
of peace, of faith. Listen, you can go through this. You can go through this. We got to encourage, you know, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I want to encourage you today.
That's right.
We're here to encourage you. We're here to enlighten you, to inspire you, to activate you.
That's right.
You know, but don't forget that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And what will stop you and what will put a hold on you will be just that. Fear, worry, and anxiousness. And as listen, you may hear troubling things in the news. You may hear things that happen, you know, to other people. But for us, our comfort, you should know God, you're seeking God here today,
mm-hmm,
is for you to spend that time abiding. I mean, Pat, Chris, can you remember a time? Can you remember a time where you needed to hear God? And you set out to abide in just that one word, that one scripture.
Oh yeah. Yeah, many times. Many times.
Isn't that powerful?
Oh, it is. It just brings you such peace, knowing that God's aware of everything. You know, he's has all your burdens in his hand. He's just waiting for you to release them out of your hand and put them in his.
That's
right. As soon as we do that, and then he gives us that faith to believe that he's in control. He's going to take care of that situation.
Right.
And then it's just gone. I just remember so many times when that happened.
Isn't that amazing?
It's wonderful. I mean, it's like, all right, I'm done. I get it, walk away. I mean, it's just done, you know, right. Knowing that God's going to handle it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just like, you know, like, what is it about God that you don't like? I'm thinking, dude, give your heart to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I can't carry that. Been there, died there, slap, worn out, tore up from the floor up. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Like, what part of worry, anxious, I mean, if you don't know Jesus, how can you ever truly, think about this, if you haven't accepted the Lord in your heart, how can anyone truly have peace outside of God?
That's right.
How could you? Constantly worrying, and that's why man is just so caught up in his ability and what he can do, and they put in so much stock in education and money and all of this, because you become your own fortress.
Mm-hmm.
You become your own insurance policy, if you will. You begin to self-insure against calamities, and you start taking pride in stock in yourself. But let me tell you something. Ain't none of us all that good.
Mm-mm.
And the best of us can all have a bad day.
That's right.
And so it's not about putting your faith and your trust in yourself. It's about turning to God.
That's right.
Turning to the one who's faithful, who loves you, who has a plan for your life, and truly cares about helping you and assisting you and bringing you out through this. Now, I'm telling you, God can put you through this.
Yes, he can.
You just got to be willing to stay in the pool, right?
That's right. And you can be ready to let go of it.
That's right. Let go and let God, right?
Amen.
Because a lot of times God wants to deliver us from something, but we refuse to let it go. Listen, I want to encourage you today. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Take your request, take your concern, and give it straight to God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I am pastor of a home church, and we have not filled out the paperwork to get a federal ID tax number. The question is, can the people who donate to our church deduct that from their taxes?
Churches are automatically tax exempt under the Internal Revenue Code, Section 508. I'm not sure whether you need an ID number or not, but I wouldn't be too concerned about getting an ID number if, in fact, it's required. But what is important for you to know is that you're automatically tax exempt as a church. If it's a legitimate church activity and a legitimate church structure, you have services, you have worship, you have baptisms, you have communion, these kind of things that make it a legitimate church organization, you're automatically tax exempt. That means the donations made by your contributors, members of the congregation, are automatically tax deductible.
If you have a legal question or concern, visit us on our website at aclj.org.
And you know, we have a special offer for you, and I want to tell you about it. It's called Convergence. My goodness, it's a prophetic word that's amazing. And the whole title is called The Convergence, A Choir of Prophetic Words. And it talks about ineptocracy. Unless America turns, America will burn, and the coming great awakening. I mean, this was a word that was shared, a convergence, a coming together, if you will, of prophetic words that was just really absolutely amazing. And I remember this day like it was yesterday because God just filled the studio. We were so gripped. But you're going to hear words from Rick Joyner. You're going to hear words from Greg. Vision that God gave me regarding the economy and it crashing. You're going to hear words from David Wilkerson, Steve Hill, and it seems that all of these words are just coming together at one time because, listen, God is preparing his church. God is preparing his church. He's getting ready for a third great awakening,
we want you to have this special offer. You can go to VFNTV.com, make an offer, any offer, but we want to get it to you so that you can be aware, you can know what God is saying, and so that you can prepare. Again, go to VFNTV.com, select a special offer, and get it today and share it with a friend.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, it's time for the wisdom moment. The wisdom moment, of course, is so important. We need God's wisdom in our life. And of all the things that Solomon could have asked for, he could ask for money and different things. God, he asked for wisdom. He said, because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you that, but plus a whole bunch more. It's like, Lord, give me wisdom. Mm-hmm. Give me wisdom. Well, today's wisdom moment is coming from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Proverbs 12, verse 18. It reads, reckless words pierce like a sword. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. That again, Proverbs 12:11 or 12:4, Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of a wise person or of the wise brings healing. You know, it's amazing how many people are not concerned with what they say. It is so amazing how many people are concerned, not even concerned with what they say. It's not only do they not consider how their words land, but it's almost like if other people and how it affects other people, it doesn't even cross their minds that your words can affect them. And I always stand amazed at those who, just like reckless drivers in cars, not concerned where or how he or she is driving, nor understanding the dangers of reckless driving can have towards others, do the very same thing by not applying the brakes on their mouth and the words and what they're saying. It's just amazing. Mm. Yeah, you know, what also never seems to amaze me are the very people that speak these words to others often are easily harmed by other people's words. Isn't that amazing how that works? Mm-hmm. Yet they say, you know, they say that 70% of communication is nonverbal, which is communication, is something coming from us. But it's just as loud or louder, when you think about it, as someone's loose words or somebody's words being spoken. These folks have reckless looks that pierce like a sword or a shock or a confrontation, you know, in regards to, you know, what's happening in their community. It's just like recklessness. It's like, do you understand how powerful words are? Do you understand how powerful communication is, that, you know, God wrote down his word to us so that we can read it, and it's so powerful, it's life-giving word. Mm-hmm. Yet there are those who are careful with their words. They understand that there is life and death in what they say, just like Proverbs 18:21 tells us, and that their tongues have the ability to either bless or curse, like James 3:10 tells us. So they carefully sow their words in the hearts of others, making every attempt to be constructive and to build others up instead of tear them down. These folks know, as we're told by our Lord and Savior, that we'll have to give an account for every single idle word that we ever speak. Every word. Mm. Think about that. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Jesus tells us, for every single word, we'll have to give an account for what we're saying. And so They understand that, so if something is said that's not right, they tussle and they turn and they're easily convicted by the Holy Spirit, understanding that those words are powerful. I need to reconstruct those words. I need to go back and say them differently. I need to apologize and repent for them. And so many people have spoken so many words. They've never paused to clean the room up. They never paused to clean the community. They've never paused to fix that. And those death words and those cursed words just sit out there lingering over, you know, a 50-year-old man or a 30-year-old woman who was living with words spoken over them as a teenager, as a young man or a young woman, or parents having to suffer words spoken over them by their own children, not realizing children need to make those things right and undo those words. Think about it. Proverbs 12:18 for the wisdom moment today is reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. Do you remember the time that I was, I thought, well, you know, I just want to get in an airplane and I want to fly like 10,000 feet up in the air just because I want to have a brave moment. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember that.
You know, I think I was 20. Was I 20?
No, you were not.
I wasn't 20. Was I 30?
No.
Y'all can remember everything but your own sin. It is amazing. It's amazing how well you remember everything.
You have to remember it. Yeah, right. You have an uncanny ability.
Yeah, right.
Some things, I don't know, but
some things we think about it that, you know, I can't find my keys, but I can remember back in June.
That's right. It's unbelievable. Like,
did y'all hear that? What? There's a demon loose. Okay. I just wanted to be able to, I wasn't 30. I must've been maybe 40. Can you believe that?
That was a long time ago.
Oh, I know. Is that amazing? Okay. So, you know, I don't mind 40 as long as my waist is not 40 now. I don't care. Right? You know what I'm saying? My goal is that's true, isn't it?
That's a good goal.
I'm shooting for it.
Yes.
Anyway, so I'm going to go, you know, because there's just so many mindsets. We get stuck. It's amazing. You wouldn't know about this, right? Getting stuck in a mindset.
What are you talking about?
It was born in a mindset. He just like got it all figured out, all kind of stacked in place. And okay, not really. Anyway, so I'm going to go break these mindsets. What's the best way to break a mindset than to fly 10,000 feet in the air and strap yourself to a hillbilly who's barefoot?
Barefoot.
He looks like the duck.
Oh, Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty, dude. He really did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
The Dynasty, dude. And
Eli was.
But it is, you put this whole harness on, and they teach you how to jump, and you hold your hands out. I'm going to parachute. Mm-hmm. It's called tandem jumping, where you're jumping with somebody, which I think he was just an anchor. But you're hooked to them with just two little clamps called D-clamps. That's it. I mean, your whole life is hooked on two D-clamps. And of course, if you're in the ministry and you've been in the ministry quite some time, it's pretty much comparable. There's not much difference. I mean, if you're actually, you know, on the front lines and so here we are, we're going in the air and this place is, I was so high in the air that the plane would go, it'd fly to the east, and then it would come back and fly to the west, like it was climbing, climbing up steps to get higher and higher and higher. So you go in there, you're sitting on the floor of the plane, which is at least, I don't know, 8 inches wide. And so you're just packed in. You got one guy by your shoulder who's going to jump. You got a guy in front of you who's going to jump, and a guy in front of him is going to jump. And then we have our hillbillies behind us. So we're sitting on the floor. And the door's closed. So you're kind of looking out the window, and it's kind of normal. You're not like, you know, you're not thinking. I mean, I had no paradigm what 10,000 feet looks like when you're on an eight-inch floor. But it looks big. It looks really big. And so, but I was like, daggummit, I'm going to break these mindsets. I'm going to get past anything that's holding me back. And if not, I'll just die. You know what I'm saying? Because it just gets sick. Don't you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and it's just these things that just lock down. If you look for a grid for people who are willing to step outside what they know and trust God, it's not a large number of people. They write books about them. Mm. And if you're wanting to do something, you know, outside the grid, and that's where Jesus moves and lives, and that's where the miracles happen, that's where the power happens.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham, that's reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love Him and adore Him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States. Because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom, and the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you, so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. I mean, you got to get outside your mind. And, you know, I spent years at that point, you know, trying to get the unity thing going and went through all the processes and all the breakfasts and all the big things. And God did some awesome things. But it's like, okay, what's next? What's after that? So here we were. We were 10,000 feet in the air. The earth looked like a painting. I could see the Gulf of Mexico. We were in Foley. I think it was Foley, Alabama, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Foley, Alabama, on a farm in Foley, Alabama. And so all of a sudden, you know, we're there. We're at 10,000 feet. And you can't hear nothing. It's like, we're going to do this next. You're going like, what? I need to hear you. This is important. I think we're fixing to jump out of this plane. You
know, it's like, oh, it was amazing. The breakfast that you had before you jumped. Like you were not concerned about the yep check. Oh, you're.
I had not a clue. I was naive. I didn't know squat. I know it's like, what we're going to do? And I'm like, oh my god, I can't hear you. And finally, with all this screaming and hollering, and I'm still sitting on the floor. I'm not attached to nobody. I don't have the parachute on me. You know, hillbilly dude's got the parachute on him. He's barefoot now, and he's got the parachute on him. I'm not yet attached to this dude.
Right.
And they open the door. And so all this whole side of the plane just opens up. And it's like, oh my goodness, I'm on the edge of a cliff 10,000 feet up with no mountain underneath it. And it just looks like a painting down there. It didn't even look like it, which is, you just got to say, okay, that is dangerous. Whatever that painting is, really dangerous. Right. If I jump out this plane. And so then he says, he looks at me, he attaches himself to those little D-ring things behind me or something. He goes, slide over. I'm thinking, I am over. There is no over to slide. And then he literally takes his chest and he starts moving like this. And he literally picks me up like I'm an attached person to his chest and swings it over the door.
Hangs you up.
And I'm thinking, my God, give me a chance. I might not want to do this. I might not want to do this, you know? And so he's like, come on, we got to do it. And what happens is before that, people started just jumping out of the plane. And it's just like your brain's going, that's not right.
There's something wrong with
that. You don't jump out of the plane and kind of hang around the plane a little bit and then kind of gradually go down. When you jump out, you immediately just go, shoot. You're just like, boom. You're like, where did they go? What happened to them, you know? And that's when he told me, slide over. I'm like, I am over. There is no over here. Anyway, so he swings me over by the door. And I'm thinking, I just need time to think. And of course, that's what they don't want you to do is think. So obviously, when you need time to think, you're holding onto the door jamb. I'm thinking, I don't have to do ministry. What am I doing? You know, I don't have to do this kind of stuff. And I'm hanging like this. And of course, then I think I'm speaking in tongues. I don't know. I just know my tongue's sticking out going, ow, blah. Thank God for the edit. I appreciate the editor on that because it came out really brave. And then finally, he shoves me out the door. Finally, you just let go. You just think, you know what? Who cares? Let's go. And you jump. And nobody told me about earplugs.
Oh, wow.
125 mile an hour wind passing past your ear. All I could think was, I'm going to be deaf. I'm going to be deaf. So if you do this stupid thing, put earplugs on. And all of a sudden, man, we're just like doing somersaults in the air. And we're just like, you're just free. You think, well, might as well enjoy this last few seconds of life. You know? And then all of a sudden, we open up like you're flying, and you're a certain pose. You're still dropping, no shoots up yet, and you're looking. You're like flying in the air like a bird that's way too high, and you're looking at the Gulf of Mexico. You're looking at the broccoli down there, which is actually 75-foot trees that's going to kill you.
All right.
And then all of a sudden, he's like, here it goes. And he pulls the parachute, and that's when I'm holding my hands tight because that's when are these two D-rings going to hold me? Because what's going to happen, that parachute opens and it jerks you. Mm-hmm. And then there's two rings, you know, either he's going to go up and I'm going to go down or he's going to go. And he pulled those things like, bam, and it caught me. And all of a sudden, it's just peaceful. It's just so peaceful. You're just kind of suspended in the air and you're looking around. You're thinking, man, this is so beautiful because God's world, the whole world, you literally can see the curvature almost.
Oh, wow.
You know, have the distance. You got the Gulf and the things and the states and the farms. The farms kind of still look like things you would see on Google Maps from way up high. And as you're getting closer and closer, you just gradually, you got to tell yourself, this is dangerous. This is dangerous because it doesn't seem dangerous. It just doesn't seem dangerous. And of course, it is dangerous to fall 10,000 feet.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I land. And I'm telling you, the first thing I said was, what? You got vision, right?
That's right.
You got vision. And it's so important because you get stuck in a mindset. Let's Let's make that available on the Torch. I got a video of that that they put together. We edited out all the screaming, the hollering, the crying, the door jam holding, the tongue thing going on.
Right.
That's hopefully gone. Hopefully it's burned somewhere. Hopefully.
We can resurface.
No, that's no sense. There's no sense in doing that. But, you know, I just want to encourage you today that you do whatever you got to do to break the mindsets. One of the big things you have to do is, if you're trying to not think like everybody else is thinking, stop hanging around the people that are thinking like you don't want to think. Because you're gonna talk like them, you're gonna walk like them, and you're just gonna buy in because that is, quote, the norm, even though it might not be right. That's the norm. You gotta be willing to go against the grain. This is what Paul said in Romans chapter 12. He said, you know, be not conformed. Be not conformed. We're supposed to be nonconformists to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, we can get stuck, and sometimes it'll take the next generation to come out of it. That's how stuck we can get. And it's like, you know, we only have one lifetime to be able to make a difference for God. And there's so many people lined up to tell you, you're fine. Just meet me at the pancake breakfast. You know, you're doing good. Don't worry about, what are you doing bucking up like that? You just go ahead and get in your little groove, and, you know, we'll just see you. You know, it's like, my goodness. Have you not read the word? Have you not seen what God can do if we believe him? Don't you know that every day people are dying and going to hell, that we're the ones supposed to be out reaching out for them, making a difference? Listen, if our mindsets say that we are not supposed to be on the front lines, we need to jump from planes. We need to do whatever it takes to be able to break those mindsets, crying out to God, say, Lord, demolish those mindsets so that I can be a faithful soldier, a faithful warrior in your kingdom. I'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I'll never forget when I was in law enforcement, I was chasing the suspect through the woods, the dark woods, but I had my flashlight. And I'm running, trying to collect my $3.75 an hour. Chasing Bundy in the woods. My frontal lobe wasn't developed yet then. I used to think, what was I doing? The last thing I did was something like that. Anyway, so anyway, I'm chasing this guy in the woods. I was so confident because I had this big, bright flashlight. You know, he's running and I'm running. You know, he's dropping all the bank bags and money. I don't know what he was doing. Anyway, he's running, and it's just me and him in the woods, and my help is coming, but they're a long ways off. And it's hard to tell where you are in the woods. Like, where are you at? I'm in the woods, man. I'm in the woods. Can you hear me breathing? And we're way deep. We're way deep. But I got this confidence because I got this light. Right? I knew where I was because I had light. I knew where I was. But all of a sudden, I'm running all confident stuff. And I'm chasing this. You know, I was in better shape then. I was chasing him. I'm in a shape now, but different shape. And all of a sudden, my confidence dropped. You know why? My flashlight went out. I'm deep in the woods with a high criminal and have no light. Now I was running through these woods. It wasn't dark to me. It was light because I had a flashlight. I'm like, oh, yeah. Woo! Yeah. I got you. I couldn't see nothing. I couldn't see a thing. I mean, I was just like had, right? So I put my back against this big, huge oak tree, and I'm like, I'll be on my flashlight. And I'm thinking, I don't know where this guy is. He could be right here, right now. I'm like beating on my light. And then they said, we're putting the dogs in the woods. We're putting the dogs in the woods. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And so I'm looking at all this darkness. I'm trying to find light, and I found like a beam of light on the outside of the woods. And I'm booking it because dogs, there's no name. They'll come after you. And so I'm running, trying to get out of the woods, thinking I'm going to get eaten alive, tripping over stuff because I don't have no, right? I don't have no light. And we finally, the dog has a tendency to find people quickly, right? Here I am, I'm right here, help me, I'm right here, please don't let him bite me. Anyway, and so, long story short, the suspect and I are in my cruiser. I'm changing the batteries on my light, and he wanted to ride in the back for some reason. And I'm talking to him. I said, listen. I said, I was chasing you. And I always believe in treating people. I mean, you're already going to jail. Just be nice. Sugar goes a lot further than salt.
he was already in the back seat, you know. Anyway, so we're talking. I said, when my light went out, when I was chasing you, I said, and my back was against a tree, big oak tree, and I'm beating on my light. I said, where were you? He says, I was on the other side of that oak tree.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I was reading in the Word, I was reading just the other day, and about Jesus. I love reading the letters in red. You know, I love reading the Gospels. I love reading what Jesus did and taught his disciples and his life. And
it was
very interesting in Mark 10. He talks about children. And this is just so remarkable. I had read these scriptures before, but this was so cool. It says that the people were bringing the little children to Jesus and to have him touch them. So they're bringing their children to the Lord, and they wanted Jesus to touch them, but the disciples rebuked them, which basically went off on them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I mean, you had parents that were saying, you know, Jesus is present and I want him to touch them. But the disciples were getting in their way. And Jesus' reaction really tells it all. You know, he was indignant. And I had to look that up there, Pat. I had to check this out here. You know, he was angered.
Oh, wow.
He was angered because it means like anger when something's unjust, incensed. He was upset. And the whole thing is that Jesus wanted the little children to have access and still does. Jesus wants children to have access to him, and no one is to hinder that. And it got me to thinking, you know, not too many times you see the Lord, the scriptures talking about Jesus being incensed or upset. I mean, you see him reacting to the Pharisees. You saw him, you know, turning up the tables, the money changers when they were trying to sell and make the temple a place of just selling and money, and says, this is God's house, should be a house of prayer. And here you see again in the scriptures where Jesus is really upset. He's angered.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me to thinking, you know, what are we doing? Are we doing anything today? Are we doing anything today that is hindering our children in our homes, in amongst our church fellowships, amongst our gatherings, that are hindering, putting away in an obstacle of our children being able to touch and experience Jesus? You know, and there's some, you know, obvious things that, you know, I would imagine to some, you know, are we living a life that compromises, you know, God's word, you know, preaching do what I say, but don't do what I do.
That doesn't
you know what
work.
I mean?
Yeah, right.
That doesn't work.
As if that really worked, right?
Yeah. I can't tell you why I know that doesn't work.
You know.
I just want you to do better than me, is what they say, right? I just want you to do better. It's like, right.
But I love your examples.
Right.
You know, what kind of example are we showing? You know, parenting is a difficult thing. You know, it's a challenging thing. But God wants us to model that relationship for our children. You know, if we're believers and we have children, we're supposed to raise them up in the way of the Lord. And the Word says that when they're old, they won't depart. You know, and questions we can ask ourselves just to look inwardly. When it's so important. Have we introduced our children to Jesus? Have we had the opportunity to bring our children and talked about the Lord and make sure that they have their own personal relationship with God? You know, they say that most missionaries, there's a study out there, says most missionaries, I can't give you the quote, have found the Lord when they were young children.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is that, you know, we have to ask, do our children have more religion than they have a relationship? Is it a form? You know, are we taking personal responsibility for leading them and teaching them and not allowing somebody else to do all the work?
You know, we acting all religious for a couple hours a week and then acting all irreligious for 6.5 days a week.
Come on, man.
You know,
yeah.
And that's where, you know, your kids are living in the context of that. And we've totally missed the mark in regards to the whole purpose when Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, you know, God's speaking about what you're talking about. He says, has not the Lord made them one, talking about a husband and wife, in flesh and spirit, they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. Yeah. And so we're supposed to, the whole purpose, I know that this will blow the American culture out of the water and the mindsets, because here we are killing our godly offspring, killing our offspring instead of raising our offspring. But there was a day when I think about this, well, I don't want to interrupt what you're saying there, but you know, there was a day when people would try to destroy society, they would say, we got to kill off their children. It's like, oh, we've already done that. You don't have to, already.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to break up their marriages. We just do that ourselves. We don't have any kind of infiltration, no terrorism. We just end it ourselves.
Right.
Mm. We need to destroy their faith and how they, like, I think they just are letting it be, you know, we're just self-destructing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's self-destruction taking place in our own country right here, where the whole purpose of you marrying your wife or your wife marrying you was to be able to bear, in God, is to be able to bear godly children, children that you do train up in the ways of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, really? Oh my goodness. You know, I wasn't thinking about having, I just wanted to have a spouse.
Oh my kids. I wanted someone to love me. So I had a
right.
What?
Yeah. What? I want somebody to talk to.
Okay. So,
well, John had read every book on marriage. Book on marriage. Remember that?
No, I didn't read every book. Just a couple. They didn't work. But anyway.
Every book.
They didn't work.
Oh, they didn't work.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm glad that Teresa was able to fix everything.
But here's the thing. I mean, here's the thing. Is that it's so, I mean, it really is so important. Remember back in the day when Russia was trying to rebuke the United States, saying we don't want MTV? You know what I'm saying, in our country, because it's destroying, we don't want that American influence to destroy, you know, our country. And the truth of the matter is that, you know what, it starts with us. It starts with us at home and what we're doing and what we're raising up. And let me tell you, there comes a point, you know, have we compromised it, even what appears to be even the small things. I mean, when it's time to celebrate the Resurrection Day, are we even talking about the Easter Bunny? You know what I mean? I mean, we can't complain at 15 and at 16 when our child doesn't want to read the Bible, you know, and doesn't want to spend time with the Lord. Like, well, we've been talking about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny for the last 10 years, and all of a sudden you mention, who's this Jesus guy on Easter? What are you talking about?
Right.
And we just need to bring it back to basics and bring it back to, you know, the main purpose of what you mentioned earlier, of why God has allowed us the great privilege of having children, is to raise them up as godly offspring. I mean, Jesus said himself that the kingdom of God belongs to them. And so I would just challenge and remind it myself, and I just think it's good for all of us to just examine our ways before the Lord. Proverbs says that a wise man and a wise woman gives thought to their ways. That we should...
What a concept. Huh. Don't you think it's really good then to spend first, before you start your day, before we make any mistakes or good things or bad things, is to abide with the Lord.
Absolutely.
And seek his counsel for our day.
Yeah.
And then he begins to you know, he makes our day right. He makes our day right. And if you haven't, you can't do this alone. We'll mess up every day outside of God. Listen, if you don't have a simple plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you. You can go to iabide.org. iabide.org. We have a simple plan for you. Just request it for free. And as soon as you fill out that little form and request, it'll come immediately to you. Click on that link and we'll have videos and everything. A simple way you can begin to spend time with God, because God wants to spend time with you.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Contact ADTS Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs. cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about it's amazing how many. You would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God. Mm. And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news, you know, it just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. If you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point. But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, you know, Paul says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And, And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.